Welcome to the CEN Show, a platform where you and I can learn from the world community. Now, this platform has a moniker, and it is Each One Teach One. And I want to share that definition with everybody because we hear that quite often, but I don't know if many people actually know what it means. So let me share that. So the phrase "each one teach one" is an African proverb that originated in the United States during slavery, when Africans were denied education. When someone learned how to read or write, it became their responsibility to teach someone else. The idea is to spread knowledge for the betterment of the community, and that fits right with the name of our organization, which is CommunityEducationNetwork.com. That's the website. But yeah, that's basically what we're here for. We want to learn, and we want to also teach what we know, and we want to learn from other people. So now I want to take everybody to our new, we have a new podcast here. So I want to show everybody that on I'm going to show you on the website, and then I also want to show you on YouTube. So let's take a look. So if you go to the podcast section on the website, CommunityEducationNetwork.com, and here we have Your Money Matters with Sister Making It Happen. And she did three shows already, and you can check them out on the website, which is a audio platform. And then you can go to Community Education Network on YouTube, our channel, and you can see the videos. And
Wow.
so it's three different shows she did. And hopefully she chimes in today because she's going to be our guest on the CEN show next Wednesday. So I'm looking forward to that. She has a very interesting show coming up. And then also, as you know, we have the other show called Conscious Corner with Professor Amin-Ra and Joe Hembree. So that's a real good show also. And we learn a lot. So let me introduce the panel here. We have our grandmaster teacher, Professor Amin-Ra, where I met him years ago, and it's amazing how many things I learned from him. Excellent, excellent brother. We got Brother Hood. Brother Hood is another member of ours, a team member, and he, as a matter of fact, he's responsible for our guest this evening, which I'm going to introduce. So Sister Making It Happen just came in. So she's here, and she's one of our team members that has the podcast, Your Money Matters. Then we got another master teacher here, Brother Mashinda, out of Louisiana, by way of Compton. So that's another one of our grandmaster teachers. And then we have our guest invited his cousin Tracy. Glad to have him here this evening. And so let me introduce our guest. He came on with us. As a matter of fact, I'm going to show you the show because it was awesome. Brother DX is our guest, and he came on, and he did a real great job. And it's right here. The show was Astrotheology, the Bible Codes. And you know, we're fairly new, so we don't get those thousands of views yet. Hopefully we will, because we think our information is very pertinent. And brother kicked in with 264 views, and that's a big one for us. So really appreciate him. Brother DX this evening, he's gonna talk about hip hop music frequency shift. And I'm real interested in hearing about that. So, Brother DX, welcome back. And matter of fact, Brother DX has joined us also as a team member. And when soon as Brother Hood get his
Hey,
Brotherhood,
what's up, man? I'm
did
here.
you give me your bio? Are you on the section? Have you been have did I get your bio already? We gotta
You know what,
check
brother?
that.
I'm gonna hook you up. I'm gonna hook you up. I
Okay.
haven't done it yet.
I've been talking to Brother DX. We've been having some real great conversations. And Brother is gonna join us. He's gonna be another one of our team members. Matter of fact, he is. We just gotta get him on the website, just like Brotherhood. So appreciate that, Brother DX, you joining with us and doing your thing. So,
Thank you.
Brother DX, welcome back. And let us know what's going on with this topic of yours, man.
All right, give thanks and praise to the Most High. We are truly grateful for this moment, just allowing, this platform to exist. I'm grateful for everyone that's chimed in and everyone that's going to pay attention and listen later on. So, we just want to give thanks to the ancestors and to just to spirit and everything that exists around us and for us. All right, I'm just gonna start it off with the basics, with the beginning of hip hop. We know hip hop right now to be a very dominant genre of music in our culture. The history of hip hop began in New York in 1973, so we are coming up to a 50-year anniversary. This is when the DJs brought out their sound systems for block parties and events. When DJs like Kool Herc, Grandmaster Flash, and a few others began playing the music, they did a technique called dropping the needle. Dropping the needle was something that nobody else had thought about doing or was doing at that time. They would just play the record and then, flip it over or whatever, play the other side, play the B side. A lot of times at home, people didn't really have a construct of really changing what the record was doing or what the music was doing. So the process of dropping the needle basically set in play a whole different way of presenting music in party settings and events. So when that took place, prior to that, we did a technique called with the tapes. We did a technique called pause tapes. Pause tapes were made with a double dual cassette player, which is all. This is also, a frequency in hip hop that, we was changing what the song was doing. Like with a pause tape, you would record part of a song, and then you would pause the tape, change the tape, and put in another song, and then play another song, record a part of that until it made a whole nother song, or some words or something you wanted to say, and we would make duplicates of the pause tapes and, sell them on the streets or give them away sometimes to other people, and they would play them on their boom boxes. Now the culture itself changed the dynamic, not only changed the dynamic of how music was played, but it was the collaboration of vocals and rhythm in a way that had never really been done on that level. Taking a record and then just playing a break beat, what we call a break beat, or just a segment of the song that did not have words, and then looping that, and then coming up with your own words and putting your own phrases and stanzas on top of an existing beat. Now, the other impact where you have the concept of words in the music, then it went into the dance. So you had the creation of breakdancing. The breakdancing aspect of hip hop brought about the next powerful impact of the culture, for the simple fact that this style of dancing, even though you can look back and some of the African dances, a little bit of the jazz, the tapping, it was like a combination of all of that. And even, the aspect of gymnastics with bending of the body, there's different moves like the yoga moves. There's Tai Chi in breakdancing. There's West African dancing in breakdancing. It's like a combination of like all the different dances that exist, and this was a creation that was that came about in our culture, which now has influenced the world. By the late 80s, the culture of hip hop began to redefine the black experience in America and across the globe. Before hip hop, an MC was considered just a host or somebody who would host a show or maybe introduce people. But we changed that dynamic by saying the MC now is, not just a master of ceremony, but we would say like a mic controller or, and then we came up with phrases like mic check 1 2, mic check 1 2, the aspect of checking the mic, all that came from us. So then you had the DJs, even that concept before, DJs were just considered somebody on the radio. There was no in the park DJ or, somebody actually DJing your party or having that concept. Even with Grandmaster Flash, he created the toggle aspect with going from one record to another record seamlessly. There was no crossfader on mixers before hip hop. Grandmaster Flash actually was an electrician who used a microphone toggle, the on and off switch, to go back and forth for each record. So he would play one song while he picked up the needle on one, he could play the other, find where he wanted to put the needle, drop it, and bring it back. So that was the first concept of when they put the crossfaders on the mixer. Then you had the creation of the TR-808, which was a drum machine. The drum machine, the TR-808, started in the 80s. The 808 frequency was one of the lowest frequencies that you could find on in nature through drums like a djembe, and some of the others had low frequencies, 70 hertz, somewhere along there, sometimes as low as 50 hertz, depending on what you could turn the toggle on the beat machine and change that frequency. So in the midst of doing that, we as the hip hop community began to use the 808 in our music. So it resonated with a certain frequency in our bodies. The 808 actually resonates with a lower frequency, with like your Kundalini chakra, which is your lower chakra at the bottom, resonates red, and also your genital. Is the reason why we resonate with the 808, even not only in hip hop, but slow songs, like the songs in the early 80s that was using the TR-808, like SOS Band. There's Marvin Gaye songs use the TR-808. A lot of the bass music that we had got, coming out of hip hop with Luke and some of the others was using the TR-808 in that frequency because it was easy for you to relate to something that was material. The material aspect of what hip hop went to is really because of the vibrations and frequencies from these digital machines. Before, and it went once the corporations got wind that hip hop was going to be, something that they really could not stop. Even the concept of beatboxing, comes from the Sand Tribe in Africa and the Bushmen, using the clicks and ticks to communicate. And we did the same thing, using the clicks and ticks to communicate and portray the sound of a drum or a beat machine. All right. So artists like your Curtis Blow, Run DMC, you had the Sugar Hill, you had Zulu Nation, the Melly Mels, they made an impact on the music corporation so much that they instituted, they began to use the artists to promote their brands like Adidas. We would put these phrases in our songs, and they began to exploit that energy to, for their own personal gain. Now, what this did was this set apart what hip hop became separated in the 90s. By the time the 90s came in, the vibrational consciousness of music had shifted from, okay, like you had disco in the 70s, right? Then you had the funk and R&B of the 80s. And when the 90s came with hip hop, each genre of music actually carry a particular vibration. So the 80s with the funk, you had a whole band where you had four or five guys that would actually literally get together, decide what song they were gonna play. They tune their instruments to, hey, you off key, you on G, yeah, man, let me get on the right key. And they would physically tune their instruments to a particular frequency so they could play the song together and it sound harmonious and in rhythm. So with hip hop, when they created the SP 1200 and it came on the market with an SP 1200, which was a beat machine slash sampler, there was no longer a need for five guys to get together to produce. So your Quincy Joneses and some of the others that would pull in a band when you had Berry Gordy's and you got 15 guys sitting out here to play horns and all these other instrument drums and everything. Now you could take that one person can control the vibe of the frequency. So the labels didn't have to pay, five, six guys to come in and record an album. They could just pay one person and they could dictate and control one person better than they can control five or six. Even the structure of the band, where you had guys that some of them would agree, some of them would not agree. They'd be like, nah, man, I don't want to do that song tonight. Or you can't find Rallo. Where's Rallo? He somewhere and it messed up the dynamic of what the band doing if you got a show and some other things. So breaking it down simply for the labels is to have a DJ and an MC, which became a very strong dynamic in the early 90s. That concept of what music brought, a duo. The unfortunate part about it is because the industry then took a separation from commercial and then they created an underground. The underground element was the element of teaching consciousness, and they kind of shunned upon those who quote unquote went commercial. So your underground artists would include the ones who didn't get a lot of quote unquote like radio play. All right. Then you had the movement with freedom of speech. Because once the separation came and you had underground artists that felt free to say whatever they wanted to say, and the industry and corporations realized that they could capitalize off of people's sovereign, people are hurt. We talking about even it's like the battle between a NWA and a De La Soul, so to speak. But you had an NWA that promoted a gangster image, but at the same time, it was something that all young youth at that time could resonate with. There was crack in the neighborhood. There was a Shirley Strawberry that, came up to the hood. And, at that particular juncture of hip hop, people were speaking what they experienced and what they knew, as opposed to now it is shifted to what you would want to be or what you want to be and what you think you can. And it's a floss mode, so to speak, as opposed to a reality when we were speaking our truth. A part of that truth created the freedom of speech. So you had the battle of freedom of speech where they were Two Live Crew, your Two Shorts, the Ghetto Boys. They all actually went to court and fought for the right for us to say what we want to say on a record. Even though years prior to, everybody said what they wanted to say. You had the Andrew Dice Clay records, you had the Richard Pryor records, your Ma Mayley records where people was cussing in public and everything else. But when we came and did it in the hip hop generation, all of a sudden now it's a problem. So we changed that dynamic. They had to put cursory advisories on the record just to let people know, like, okay, this record is such and such. So they went through this whole thing to shut down the frequency of positive music. So they wanted to elevate the gangsters because with the 808, with the lyrics, with the promotion of some of the poverty aspects of our community and glorifying that, you had the next culture that was underground came with your KRS-Ones. It came with your Poor Righteous Teachers, your Brand Nubians, your X-Clan Paris, Diamond D's, your Gang Starz, the Flavian. These were instrumental artists that came to elevate the vibration. When we first started, we was in a heart chakra. Everything that we did, it was from the heart. We doing this about love. We in our communities, bringing about cultural events, playing music, people having a good time, creating that environment through our social and economic struggles. We still had a positive way of expressing ourselves through the breakdancing, the graffiti, and allowing hip hop to be a part of our lives. All right. When you had artists that could teach you and tell you something a little bit different, teaching us about history, telling us about economic struggles, telling us about that we God, we should not have fear. We had artists that was doing that, but subliminally and systematically, those artists didn't get airplay. The Public Enemies got in from time to time because they was in the movie. Your Run DMCs got in time to time. They was doing movies. Then you had the Fresh Princes and some of the Ice Cubes that got in on the movie level. But their conscious music itself was shunned to the side, to the left. It wasn't something that the labels would promote, that this song would be played on the radio 6, 7 times a day if it's gonna tell you that, fuck the police. You're not gonna hear that 6, 7 times a day on the radio, even though it's a lot of us feel like that. And they're not gonna tell you, don't eat beef. Beef is a killer. You got so many artists that were promoting goodwill information, saying deep concepts, and we were elevating from the heart to the throat, where you had a DMX, coming from the throat, your Kumo D's, how you like me now? The throat chakra and being able to speak and articulate with these words and putting out a vibe of people that paid attention to what you had to say, and you had the music behind it. So once we get to the third eye chakra up here, where people's consciousness is being awoken, it dropped. It went right back down to a lower frequency of vibration because none of the artists that was elevating being on the radio. So the radio, the airwaves coming out, what you hearing and what you resonating with every day, 15 times a day, the corporations, they couldn't afford to allow the powerful expressions of black pride and self-esteem to thrive on its own without some guidance from them to tell us what's good or what's bad. The dynamic being fused with a monetary discipline, they took hip hop and fused it with R&B to make it acceptable to the mainstream. So taking a rapper, then the hip hop industry is the only industry that had to make two records. You had to make a clean record, then you had to come and make a record for the streets, or vice versa. So they could play the music with all this cursing and everything else on the radio, but they beep it out. So that changed the dynamic of the vibe. When you got chirp, chirp, and this and that coming in over your verse, and then they put in a female singer or somebody in the midst of on the hook to get you catch in a certain way, and then they can promote whatever they want through that music. The shifting of this collaboration effort coming from four or five guys being musicians to one or two guys, one playing some music, using the sample loop from the original sounds of these men playing this music. That's why we resonated with hip hop. That's why we resonated with the samples, because it was a frequency that we didn't have to totally create. It was already there. We just took it and looped it and changed the dynamic of what it was going to do for the people to make it fit what we were doing right now, presently. So you have the West Coast, they gravitated towards the funk. If you listen to most of the West Coast, with your Dr. Dre, some of the other producers coming out of DJ Quick, and a few of the others, they gravitated towards the funk with the energy of a George Clinton, Roger Troutman, is that, Gap Band kind of energy. Now, the East Coast, on that same note, because of the influence of Harlem, they gravitated towards jazz. So if you listen to a Tribe Called Quest or Talib Kweli, some of the others, they have this jazz influence. DJ Premier, they have a jazz influence behind them. This is also frequency. The reason why the West and the East Coast just sometimes battle and didn't get along because we're vibing on two totally different frequencies of how we thought music should sound and what it should do and how it's supposed to resonate with the people. When you start you get like a Bone Thugs in harmony. You get a artist like a Biggie who was able to combine the West Coast and the East Coast together. Tupac did the same thing. If you listen to his music, it's a combination of funk and jazz. He had the R&B mixed in with it. It was a total package of fusion of music that people resonated with. That's the combination of putting together the structure. Now, the unfortunate part about it is the structure got controlled. When the structure got controlled, they were able to lower the energy level, lower the vibration, and only promote music that would bring about a negative type of a negative energy. If you look at it now, all of the rappers and artists that are in hip hop switch from being like a Big Daddy Kane, a Heavy D, to a little this, a little that, a young this, a young that. Bringing down once again the whole masculine energy of what hip hop was at first. When we had our Timberland boots, it's controlling fashion. We had our rope chains. We had our four finger rings. It changed we controlled fashion. Whatever we did, that's what the world was on. If we wore a hat backwards, then is your hat backwards? Because that's what the hip hop culture is doing. Right now, you look at the hip hop culture where it's shifting of what's the mainstream of what we call mainstream. Hip hop is still controlling. And I also notice, and then I ain't gonna go too long on this, but I also noticed the shift in the drug of choice. Okay? In the 60s, you had a revolutionary movement where people were free and open, and then it was on like the psychedelics and the acid. Then when it shifted to the heroin in the 70s, you get your disco and people da, 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 dancing, having a good time that way. Then you get to the 80s, it shifted to like a cocaine, you know, and that brought about the funk, which slowed down the disco and made people groove a little bit different. Then you get to the 90s, you got a hip hop generation, the first seeds of the underground with consciousness. Everybody was on marijuana and rolling it up, but we weren't rolling it in paper. We start rolling it up in tobacco leaves, getting back a little bit closer to the earth. You know, we and that in itself, creating the whole alchemy of what the elements have been doing for all these centuries is creating a source of life and survival and communication through rhythm and vibration. Just like when we was in Africa, we played the drums to send the message. Do, 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 do. The first record that came out with Melly Mel, it was the message. Do, 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 do. Broken glass everywhere. You know, the message is still here. They trying to bury hip hop, but there's still a culture of hip hop that's thriving through the graffiti. Most people can't read the graffiti because it's written in a certain level of hieroglyphics, just like the pyramids. You know what I mean? It's got its own style. It's got its own way of curving the S and making it this. A lot of people can't listen to hip hop. You know, they don't understand the words. They're talking too fast. What did he say? What did that mean? We changed the slang. The slang words that we use, everything from bling to slizzard to hitting skins, the jimmy, you bugging, that's dope. We didn't change the whole dynamic of what words mean. We didn't change, took the English language and made it our own. This is a cultural movement. This is the true rapture, because no other genre of music has had the influence or impact of the world like hip hop. Hip hop itself is the frequency. That's my point. And I'm gonna conclude on that. And I'm pretty sure some of my other fellow hip hoppers, Mr. Hood, my cousin Tracy, you know, y'all might want to add a little bit, and we can continue to build. I
Okay,
just want to set that up as a foundation.
so I'm gonna go ahead and go to cousin Tracy. Cousin Tracy, you want to add to it, or you want to ask him a question or make a comment?
No, I think what he's saying is very true, because the frequency in the music, it does change the vibration of the way people think and the way people move. It's very, very true.
All right, thanks a lot. Thanks for
Yeah,
coming
thank you.
too, brother. Brother Hood, you want to add to it, or you want to comment, question?
Well, I was just going to say, man, I think he was right on point with it. It's definitely changed, and he just kind of expressing that. I think that it's kind of interesting, though, how you still have a lot of people who really don't really understand what hip hop is at this point. So I think it's kind of changed so much that a certain generation, I think, really don't really understand that essence of it. And that's kind of a point too. It is kind of morphing into something else.
Okay.
Wow.
All
Yeah,
right.
I think that's a good point, Hood. How the current generation are not familiar with a Brand Nubian or X-Clan, you know, and even when we were coming up, you know, we still had the issues of not hearing that music on the radio. You had to go to a particular place or somewhere to get it. You know, you had to go to the record store when we had records and vinyl. In my opinion, this is my personal opinion. I think when CDs became popular, and it was very, very easy for young black men who, one, we didn't have vocation. Two, we didn't go, if you didn't go to college or if you didn't go to the military, you didn't play sports, hip hop was something that you could use and not have to sell drugs. You know, we pressed up our CDs and got out there and sold CDs to make money and did it for a while. I think when Master P took it and basically went like quadruple platinum, so I don't know how many, God knows how many CDs he actually really sold, made so much money. They shut that down. There was no way that they could continue to allow these young black men to create their own music, not needing the label, not needing distribution. Like, you can go platinum in your own neighborhood, so to speak. Get your own van and ride around from one city to the next selling your music. And that's what we did for a while and did okay. Until the digital age came and switched up how we distribute the music. Even though people still got CD players in their car, you'll kind of look at somebody strange trying to sell you a CD right now. But that was only just 10, 15 years ago when, you know, we was all selling CDs on the streets and doing okay. DVDs the same way. That was part of the culture. And then now you can't, if you want to get something, you got to upload it, you got to download, you got to stream, you got to do all these extra things because they still trying to control the frequency. They still can determine, even recently, how certain things on your social media, they'll take that off and leave up other stuff. You know, anything that's dealing with some consciousness or something that's going to really truly help us and elevate us, you know. They got a systematic way, and even with these algorithms, how these algorithms are working on our YouTubes and our social media platforms of what music is being played in the background behind some of these little things. You know, hip hop is always gonna be here. I don't ever see hip hop going anywhere. I think it's definitely time to, you know, bring about the elevation of that culture because it's a language and it's a form of expression that many people still cannot comprehend. of what it does and how it really affects what people do. You know, when you bring back the true art and nature of what hip hop was actually designed to do and how the gift came to us, and even all the devices that have accommodated us over the way, the SP, you know what I mean? The MPC, all these different devices, the turntables now, everything then, you know, diversified around. You can put the DJ stuff on your computer. You can produce a song right on your computer by yourself with no, even the notes and everything. What they'll put them in place for you with a software. You ain't got to do nothing. You don't even have to be a producer. You ain't got to know nothing about music. You ain't got to go to no class. You can sit there right there on your computer and produce a song with a bass, a guitar, piano, horns, and everything being synced and in tune by yourself. Now, if that's not some AI like BS to me right now, like the creation of having four or five guys together in a room making a track, making the music at the simultaneously, this bass player got to play this same bass line 108 times the same way, slide his fingers exactly to the same spot 108 times simultaneously, and do it 1,000 times because he on tour playing. And it sounds just like the record when they play. And when he in the studio, how many times he had to do it? You got to catch it. You better get it now because everybody else is on it. You better get your part. You know, that was the to me, like the height of what music was doing, and the fact that we took those and sampled it. Even though we wasn't in the room producing the music at time with the drums and the bass, the fact that we could take that frequency and loop it and still produce and create the right dynamic for our people. Like you can get you can feel this, what he's saying, because he's on a Marvin Gaye track in the back. Even now, they redoing the hip hop. They re sampling samples. Like you gonna sample the sample? This is just really mind blowing to me. Like I'm just sitting back watching it, and you know, I'm hoping that eventually there will be like I appreciate some of the avatars like a Kanye West or like a Kendrick Lamar, where if you really listen to their lyrics and their message, you know, it's like they had to play a game to get their point across. Like they really took on an avatar type of energy. Even Tupac to me was an avatar, you know, just taking on a different persona in order to get a point across. But really, shoo, you really trying to stir some stuff up, you know, which is what hip hop is a revolutionary tool.
Okay, well, I'm gonna go to the ladies. Okay, Sister
Okay,
Aziza.
ladies.
Sister Aziza,
Good afternoon.
how you doing this evening?
I'm well. How's
Yeah.
everybody?
Okay, glad you're here. Any comment, question for Brother DX?
No, not really. It was interesting to hear him, you know, state all these things. I just find it very interesting. Thank you.
Right, thanks for
Thank
being
you.
here.
Thank you.
Sister making it happen.
Greetings, family, Hotep. Peace and blessings,
Hotel.
everyone. Yes, I have lots to say, lots of comments and everything. But as a person who grew up in the Bronx where all that started, it was beautiful to hear your reflection. It was a great reflection as an alchemist, as someone who understands chakras. I really was impressed on how you presented your topic today.
Thank you.
One of the things that I would say is key for us is this trickery is being played. You know, we're in Hollywood, Hollyweird, so we know all kinds of things are going on. But we have to remember to use our imagination because that's one thing that cannot be duplicated, okay? Because it comes from our pineal gland. And we have to remember that that is where creation is. So as long as we can remember to that, and of course, hip hop is 50 years old, so we're old now. We're on the other side of the rainbow. So we're responsible. We're responsible for that legacy that you just laid out. Like, you know, my 17-year-old, she loved Tribe Called Quest. So And you can tell the children whose parents are like us because they come together. They can't even relate to nothing else. The rest of it doesn't make sense to them. They come together because they speak a certain cultural language that's called hip hop. Whether it came out of, the flower children, the hippies, the hip hoppies, whatever we are, but we are here. And the energy, the vibration is so powerful and strong that yes, we crack that nut and it's open and there's nothing that can be done, period. Because we're gonna continue to shape shift where things cannot. So yes. Things are trying to definitely catch us, but we got to remember who we are and keep our hands in the dirt and keep the love and remember who we are and the travelers that we are and continue to be that light for our children and our great grandchildren and our great grandchildren so that they can continue to use their throat chakra, use their voice to make the necessary changes and to be out of and the crown chakra at the same time and be able to go all through because as grief you have to be able to go through those levels. So sometimes you may have to be at that lower level, but then you got to remember where the higher level is as well. So that's what I wanted to add. It was a great presentation. And yet things are still being controlled, even we're fortunate enough to be here, right? So we got to get in where we can fit in for however long we can get in before the next shift happens. So keep your imagination strong, let your children play, let them get out and like I said, get in the dirt and let the dirt work its magic.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Now, we got Brother Kwabena here. Kwabena did it a couple of shows related to music. And I want to get his take on what you were saying and if he could, if he have any questions or anything. Kwabena, thanks for showing up, brother. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, brother. Greetings to
Yeah.
everyone. I just apologize for having some difficulty getting in, so I didn't get a chance to catch the whole presentation from Brother DX. But I am looking forward to hearing it in the recording. And this is the thing that we work on a lot, this issue of hip hop, understanding its 50th anniversary. Just seeing yesterday, Kool Herc, or the day they announced he was even going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame,
Yeah, that's right.
still sometimes kind of puzzles me how there's so much with that. But then we got a hip hop museum. I know Sisters from the Bronx that they're trying to put in the Bronx, but some struggles out there because of the involvement of Afrika Bambaataa. No, I shouldn't. I forgot the Bambaataa with that, the recent allegations. Well, not recent, but the allegations that he's been involved in recently, the horrid allegations. So I know the struggle with that. But again, I can't really say too much again about your presentation, brother, because I only, like I said, I heard the tail end, and I am looking forward to hearing it again, and I definitely will listen and provide some feedback when our brother puts it up on YouTube. So I will check it out there. But I do want to say, however, though, that hip hop being a culture and what the impact that it has had on the masses. I know sister just talked about her 17-year-old daughter in Tribe Called Quest. And I do a conscious hip hop show. And a lot of times I get some of the artists that I've never heard of from some of the youth who hit me to some of these artists. That hit me to Big Crit and D1 and others who are making conscious music. I get it from them. But the masses of our children and youth, too many of them, like my 17-year-old niece, loves some NBA Youngboy. And I see so many, and I see a lot of things about Ja Morant and what he's dealing with. And, and I look at the whole Memphis Grizzlies team the other day, walking into a game, about dancing about a song about killing people. And I just think that, like Dr. Frances Press Welsing said years ago, we talk about this right before she passed, or right after she made transition, check the video from her. And minute 24 of this video, she said that rap music has annihilated the self-respect of Black people. She says it has annihilated. And I just think about the tens of thousands of African people shot and killed, either shot and or killed in the US in the last several years. Tens of thousands of us be getting shot, man. And it's crazy. But what is the major thing that's promoting and pushing us shooting each other? the self-hate so associated with so much of this commercialized controlled rap, and again the frequency of it, when you're constantly hearing N-bombs being dropped on you, dehumanizing you. You're constantly being told that you should, you know, solve your problems by shooting and killing your own people. And sometimes it ain't even a problem, and the song is bragging about shooting and killing people. And again, we know that that's what's being pushed and promoted on the airwaves when it is heard on the radio or on popular websites or Spotify, because they play all that stuff unedited. The radio tries to edit it a little bit, but it's a constant barrage of negativity. The impact it's having on the masses is just, it's really something that needs to be seriously addressed. Seriously addressed. I live in the Chicago area. I grew up in LA. But I live in the Chicago area, Gary, Indiana. And our city has been the murder capital for so many years until we lost population and such where they don't even count us anymore. But living right in the suburb of Chicago, it's like, you know, you see what's going on there, you see what's going on in Napa, New Orleans, Baltimore, maybe we can go on and on, even New York. And again, one of the main things that's associated with is this, the lyrics in this music, which says, take each other out. You know, your life, you ain't worth nothing. Now, women, we're going to disrespect y'all. We're going to tell you to take drugs and be on drugs all the time. It's like, yeah, it's an issue that we gotta really, and you know, and it's stripping, and it's promoted and pushed by the Grammy, by the NAACP Image Awards, you know, nominating songs and Future and Gunna and Young Thug, 2/3 of them, and already got indicted. You see what they got indicted for, and then still gonna nominate them for an award, Image Award. You got City Girls nominated for an Image Award. So it, you know, This I work with the Clear Airways Project, and we struggle so hard with this stuff, man. It's really tough because we see what's happening in our schools. Hopefully it won't happen this year, but I think it was like 7-8 graduations got shot up last year. 7-8 graduations. Sweet 16 parties getting shot up in Alabama, and 32 children, 32 African youngsters getting shot in Daysville, Alabama. And I guarantee you, at that party, they were playing songs about shooting and killing people. I guarantee they were playing Nardo Wick or Peasy, you know, and it's like, and who raps about, you know, he hates N so much, he's like KKK. Who raps about shooting up your party? We just having, or I'm gonna hit your party up. We just misbehaving. So, I mean, I'll stop there, bro, but I, you know, this issue of hip hop and its impact and the influence of it, and the, like you said, the frequency of it is having a serious impact on our people and the way we live. You know, we shouldn't have to live like
that. No, we are under serious assault, and it's primarily mental. Now, I just want to add to what you were saying. You mentioned this, what is that artist, Youngboy or something?
NBA Youngboy.
Yeah, now, I was tutoring a young African-American girl yesterday, and she told me that she listened to this artist. And I asked her, because I was talking to her about psychological edge when it comes to this mathematics. And we got to the point where we was talking about the music. And I said, what is he talking about? And she concluded that a lot of it was negative. But then she said, oh, he talks about some good stuff. And I said, what is that? She said, you know, love and, you know, matter of fact, she said that it was about getting your heart broke. And I was thinking to myself, that's good, you know, talking about breaking somebody's heart and, you know, and it has a strong influence on our kids, I know, because it had a strong influence on me. But I didn't want to say too much here, but I just wanted to bring that up. But now let's go to Brother Muko out of Baltimore, another one of our team members. Unmute, man. You got to unmute.
You muted. I didn't hear you, brother.
Okay. All right, there we go. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, Brother Muko.
The mute.
Yeah.
Okay, what's so going go ahead. On? Go ahead, man, and comment, question. What's going on?
Well, what's going on, family? I'm glad I could join y'all tonight. Definitely, DX dropped some jewels. I come from Gracely. I was born in the 70s, so I was, hip hop very much well raised me, into the man that I am with the help of my dad. But I just it's hard to believe and put my mind around that we came from "Don't push me, 'cause I'm
Because I'm
close to
close to
the edge,"
the edge.
going from that to some of the degrading things that we had now, like it's crazy. We went from the MC Lights to the Meg Thee Stallions, and
Right.
just seeing the transitions from the Poor Righteous Teachers and the X-Clans, like you were mentioning, to the De La Souls and the Tribe Called Quest and the Native Tongues and all that, to the NWA. I mean, we have seen this degeneracy and phases, so to speak. It just didn't happen like overnight. You know what I'm saying? We still can't forget 2 Live Crew. We can't forget Bumps and the Humps. We had a lot of, we had a lot of degeneracy before it just became just totally just whacked out. Hip hop was had five different chambers, five different elements attached to it. Like you were saying about the graffiti and the break dancing and the language and the art, the language of it. Me being an advocate and an associate and a participant in hip hop. I mean, shucks, I still got hip hop videos on goddamn YouTube when I was in my 20s, 30s. You know what I'm saying? I've met hip hop greats. I knew Tupac personally. You know what I'm saying? I've met EPMD, E and PMD, both of them. You know what I'm saying? I've did street teaming for Cormega, Nas, the greats. You know what I'm saying? Some of the greats, some of the quote unquote new leaders of the new school, that are now old school. So seeing the phase and now having an 18-year-old who is really deep into hip hop and is a hip hop artist himself, even now what he was raised off of, what I raised my children off of, is like KRS-Ones and the X-Clans, the ISIS. They didn't really, they got the negative with the positive, but it was also the element that was going on around them. You know what I'm saying? We can't forget the elements that was going on around us and the instigators that were going on around us. You know what I'm saying? You made an interesting point about sampling samples. I mean, come on, we got Just Blaze, Kanye West. That's all they do is sample samples. You know what I'm saying? And but even looping and sampling the sample, you still catch a different vibration because you're only catching a part of a whole vibration that was going on. You know what I'm saying? When we're making a sample, right? We're taking that sample and we're looping it, but we're also adding hi-hats. We're also adding snares. We're also changing what? The BPMs. You know what I'm saying? And even in changing the BPMs, you're changing the frequency. You know what I'm saying? You're changing the frequency right there. So what we're doing is recreate. It's nothing new under the sun, and we don't create anything. Okay, all we do is manage. So we're
Manage.
managing and rearranging frequencies. You know what I'm saying? Making them new frequencies. Now, some of the new frequencies aren't positive, high vibrating
Vibration.
frequencies. And when you add or look at all of that in the mix, and then most of us are doing it and not even knowing what we're doing. You know what I'm saying? Because we don't even understand the nature of what we're doing. The nature of rhythms, cycles. We're only we tapped into a little bit of this. So I guess what I want to add to this conversation is we're always still learning. I want to add to what brother was that was just on. Forgive me for not remembering your name. He says something really interesting about our grandsister, Francis Cress Welsing. You know, he made it really clear. Francis Cress Welsing was the reason I stopped rapping. Okay, I put my mic down when and let me see, I don't want to quote this year wrong. I want to say it was 2013. Francis Cress Welsing came here to Baltimore. Reality Speaks brought her here. And she said to me, we were talking about hip hop, and brother hit it right on the, he hit it right on the mark. She said to me that all hip hop is rhetoric. And I'm not going to lie. And rest in power to Frances Cress Welsing. And I got an attitude with her that day because just like I told everybody in the space, I'm a former hip hop artist. You know what I'm saying? And I was just thinking to her, like, what do you mean? It's rhetoric. What I do is rhetoric? And she said, well, young man, let me ask you a question. Can you let your children listen to your music? And I was like, yeah, I don't even cuss in my music. I thought I hit her. You know, I thought I was catching on a point. She said, okay. She said, now let me ask you this question. After listening to your music, what changes? I didn't quite understand the question, but what she meant was the system of white supremacy still stands. And ultimately, you're still a failure at changing the system of racism, white supremacy to a system of justice. And when she hit me with that, she was like, if your music isn't changing the situation right after someone listens to it, then it's rhetoric. Tough pill to swallow. Francis was right. I hate the fact that I had to come to this realization so soon after she passed. But, you know, if it's not changing your situation in the most positive, the most constructive way, you know, not just a little bit better, not progressing to a better way, because understand, when we progressing, all that's saying is that whatever your job is that you're trying to, you know, complete is not complete yet. So you're just celebrating a, you're just celebrating incompleteness. You're celebrating the fact that, oh yeah, you know, I'm making progress. All you're saying is I'm not complete yet. So I think we're in a culture now and we're in the stage now where we're celebrating too much, especially when it comes to the music and every part of our situation that our life that we're in. We're celebrating too much and we're not concentrating on correcting or solving the problem. And it ties in even into our music. Right now, I give our music a best. If I had to give it a grade on a scale of 1 to 10, the best grade I could give our music is a 1.5.
Okay, brother. Let's get Brother Mashinda to chime in. Brother Mashinda?
Yeah, good evening. Yeah, it's kind of tough acts to follow. They done covered it all, man. You know, from Brother Kwabena to Brother DX, you know, appreciate your presentation, covering, had a range of information that's very, not only valuable, but very interesting. And I'm familiar with it. And you added some things that I wasn't familiar with. You know, it's just, I guess, excuse me, hold on 1 second. I guess I can add, you know, to the equation, or just kind of piggyback off which what's already been said, you know, the inception of hip hop, you know, and the, you know, cultural expressions in neighborhoods and things that are going on at that particular time in the world of people, you know, young African people expressing themselves in the community based on, you know, relative to their own experience, you know, bringing it to light and bringing music and beats and things that, you know, to a very creative, you know, situation. And so, you know, and then it turns into a commercialization, you know. Man, I was a big fan of Karius One, and I still listen to his lyrics, you know, and the lyric, you know, that house niggas, you know, Let me see. How should I start? If I say stop the violence, I won't charge. You know, and so if you stop right there, it's like, you know, maybe I should write some songs like Mozart. And then say, of course, many people don't believe rap is an art. So what happens is he's, you know, that right there is not only profound. That was deep in my day when I was young and I paid attention to that. And, you know, and then they talk about NBA Youngboy and you talk about the little Boosies and all the different folks that are out there in their own communities expressing what's going on. So in real time, you know, people are still experiencing things. But then again, you know, it's you got the culture vultures. I you hear those terms, culture vultures and different. But the commercialization is it's all about making money. And so if you can take somebody that's half baked and they look halfway like a certain image that they're looking for, you know, because the marketing kings, you know, the people behind the scenes, the geniuses that understand the subliminal seduction of the mind, you know, they play on our children, and our children are the biggest consumers of hip hop. You know, of course, us grown folks, we were children once and teenagers and young adults, and we went through our phases. But, you know, luckily I was part of that conscious phase, you know, Malcolm X, Malcolm, Martin Luther King, and, you know, and the Last Poets and so forth. And I was at school. I met Stokely Carmichael, later better known as Kwame Ture. You ready for the revolution, young brother? I said, sure I am. You know, I'm, you know, Dick Gregory come to my school and meet up with me personally, or me and a few brothers, you know. So during those times, you know, I'm like, I'm down with KRS-One. I'm down with, you know, Public Enemy. I'm down, you know, that's just the sign of the times. But then what happens is they kill off all those leaders and kill off all those people. And COINTELPRO, you know, takes its place and do what it do. And then here it is. Look at the fallout. We still got the brothers we got the young brothers and sisters in the communities, poverty stricken, undereducated, problems going on. You know what I'm saying? You know, go back to the temptations, people moving in, people moving out, whatever. You know, so you got these situations going on. And then, but we don't have the conscious, they don't get any radio play because the culture, the commercial kings then said, hey, you know what? You know, we're going to take this information and we're going to twist it and sell it. You know, we'll sell your misery. You know, we'll sell, you know, where you're at. And so, you know, something that you can identify with, you know, you have got drive-by shootings, you got this. And then, like you say, the NBA young boys and the different folks that I've heard of all them guys ain't built like that, but they're manufactured in the studio. And so they become of that. And so they buy all the guns and they display it on the social media, weaponized by the social media and things like that. So, man, hey, it's going real fast right now. So, you know, hey, I don't know. But anyway, I appreciate everybody that came on tonight, man. I just had to ramble on because I don't have nothing more to say. I'm in agreement with everything that I've heard tonight. And but it's moving real fast. That's all I can say.
All right, Brother Mashinda. Sister Making It Happen, before you go, can you tell us what we're going to be doing next Wednesday?
Greetings, yes, fam. So before I have to leave, excuse me, next week we're going to be talking about the history of Mother's Day from ancient Egypt to modern times. So we're going to get into a discussion about the archetypal mother, the female energy, and, you know, as we prepare to honor our mother during this time of Taurus season, the Earth Zodiac. We're going to put it down and have a good conversation. Well, peace and blessings to all. And if you're available, I look forward to seeing y'all come out.
All right. Thanks a lot, sister. All right. Brother Hembrick. Brother Hembrick.
Sir. Hey, you know, y'all in another world. I was born in the 50s, so. Curtis Mayfield, you know, why don't you check out your mind, been with you all the time, that kind of stuff. But this hip hop, I'm like, I'm lost in the woods with all that, man. So I defer all that to y'all, you know, cause I'm not hip to it. I was a jazz man.
and I love reggae, but I don't understand what the hell they're saying. The beat though. But anyway, I'm straight old school. So
Rasta Lives Matter.
Blah, blah. Child Rastafari.
Yes, sir.
No, like I say, I never listened to it or understand it. I guess I'm like Brother Ra. Ra's older than me, so, but hey, I appreciate the information. I hope the youngsters is listening, to what your brothers are saying. They need to. And that's the challenge. So best of luck to y'all, but I can't help with that, because like I say, I'm lost. I don't know. You mentioned these artists. I don't know who you're talking about.
It's all good. All good. Okay, Professor Ron, I know you got some things for us, some info.
Oh, I appreciate what's been said, if I understand correctly. I do agree with Joe that MSN and everyone that had commented on Sante Sano. Just thank you to Brother DNA for being a part of our network and just keep on doing the studying. There's a lot to music. Music by itself is diverse. Mm-hmm. All kind of music. A lot of people like to branch it off and say, this is a culture, or this is a change of culture and things, but it's really just a part of the music culture, especially when it comes to African people. I've been into music for years. I was born in 1948, so I remember when they had 78, 33 speed records and 45 speed records coming into the 60s. And we had record players, And I listened and sang along with the people. But hip hop is just another form of what songs have been said in the past. They just speeded it up, sampled it, and add talking and rapping and other forms of lyrics that they classify as hip hop. We've been singing about sex. Many rhythm and blues songs with sex. I remember in the '50s there was a song called Giggling. When she walked by, my poor penis froze, And they wouldn't play that on the radio. And there were other songs that they wouldn't play on the radio. There was conscious songs like Bring the Boys Home and War. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Edwin Starr. It was political and conscious. Hip hop has made a lot of billionaires. There's some positive attributes to hip hop. It's diverse. You got gangster rap that's a part that some people have assigned to hip hop. You got conscious hip hop that's Brother Luko was saying when it comes to Public Enemy and KRS and a few others whose song, and like Gil Scott used to say, the song don't have a message in it. It should be an instrumental. People listen to music and they just enjoy it. They enjoy it, and this is a different era. Our parents thought we was crazy listening to love songs and slow songs because many of our parents came up, you couldn't sing love songs. Black people couldn't sing. They had to sing about everything but that. Yaggedy yak, don't talk back, all that type of stuff from the Coasters. And they sung about drugs, the Cloud Nine from the Temptations in the 60s was about getting high, as well as, and Barry White even Barry Gordy attests to that when they did a Motown Hitsville. With Motown, and he said, he didn't want to produce those type records, Psychedelic Shack and all of that type of stuff. Mm. This is not new. My point, what is new is what DX was saying, that some of the people are self-made millionaires by selling records out the trunk of their car. You know, and when it come to rapping, it rap started mostly in the penitentiaries. You know, back in the jungle, deep in the sticks, the animals had a pool hall with all the bad MFs. They one night about 10, you know, all the bad MFs start falling in. Here comes Peter Rabbit. Man. I mean, this goes all the way back. You know, jump off a building and snap my fingers, and I mean, then you call my wrist and snap my fingers like this, and all that type of stuff. That was done. Red Fox talked about the racehorses. You know, here come my pillow, here come Pasula, here come my penis, here come this and that. I mean, he was rapping. Brother, what is his name? Moses, Black Moses.
Isaac Hayes.
Isaac Hayes used to say, you know, Ike's rap. This is way before brothers started rapping hip hop. Hip hop is for a new generation, as Joe, as Brother Hemrick said. Y'all can listen to it and you enjoy it. You got some positive hip hop and you got some negative hip hop. But it did produce people like Ice Cube, the multimillionaire. You got Jay-Z, multimillionaire, a billionaire, as they say. You got Suge Knight at one time, was big with Death Row Records. But you had other people with other record labels that was nice. And you had some people. The biggest purchaser of rap music is white people. Everybody know that.
You white females.
Right, white people buy it and rap it. You understand? And it's not Vanilla Ice they buy it. Mexicans and Latinos, you go down the street, they're listening to black people music. You understand? But they buy it. You can't get a multi-$1 million. Black people, you know, they bootleg records. They ain't buying a bunch of them things, you know? And so my point is that it's a beautiful thing. Some of the artists that have come out have made some beautiful music. Salt and Pepper made some business. I think Missy, I mean, you listen to that sister, she's saying, you know, no cussing. But then you had other groups, Bitches with Attitude, Hoes with Attitude, you know, but there was an audience. There was an audience. And some of the biggest producers of it and controlling it, as Quaminam was saying, was white record companies, majors, record companies, just like they control Michael Jackson. You understand? I mean, when you get on that level, you got to have that type of thing. But the beautiful thing is that there are some artists that sing songs you could, you know, we used to dedicate records. That's right. You know, Run DMC, you know, they Run DMC, and they would record with white people, and Russell Simmons, you know, produced them and things. He's a multimillionaire and he broke off. They break off into movies and doing things. A lot of them do a lot of philanthropy. I mean, they start football clubs and they do some good things. But it's not by itself. That's the issue I have, saying that hip-hop has its own culture. No, it's a part of the black culture, the African culture. And even when they say it's part of the Caribbean and the Latino, they're talking about the African aspect of it. You got African Latinos. You got the Caribbean is nothing but Africans. That's how they got it. That's what the word Caribbean means. They was carried over there. You understand? So only thing I can say is, brother, keep doing your studying. Keep talking about the vibe and the rhythm of Afro-rhythm. An artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
Young people start getting into rap because the same way we got into basketball. It was a way out. It's a way out. I mean, Snoop Dogg started at Long Beach Poly. You know, and a lot of them never did finish high school, but they could rap. That's what we used to say about the kids. You can remember how to rap about hip hop. Again, I forget. When it came out, little kids were walking down the street doing that song. But we asked them to remember the ABCs, or asked them to remember math equations. They can't do it, but they can remember the music. And some people added music to education. And so I just think it's a good thing. Music has always been a part of our lives as people. And the Afro-rhythm comes from us at the standpoint of percussions and other forms of sound, mimicking animals and things. And music is universal language of the world, and it comes in different forms and different styles, and nobody have a monopoly on it. And as I said, I just believe hip-hop is just part of the regular culture and popular culture of Black people. That's a fraction, because other than that, what purpose is it? I mean, what is the purpose? It's so diverse, there's no single purpose. You are free to make up words or do words and things of that nature. And as Commandant said, Frances Bresswell seen, and she was known, Delores Tucker, she was filing suits and trying to stop gangster rap. Then Maxine Waters came and defended the rapper. So, you know, you have that diversity. But and I'm like Joe Hembrick. I'm whispers, you know, but they talk about sex. Marvin Gaye talked about it, not just in love, but sexual healing. You know what I mean? You got it. You know, it's all a part of our creativity. Creativity and making a way out of no way. And mm-hmm. then lift our minds and consciousness through lyrics and through songs. So music is a tool. We have liberation strong songs. We have revolutionary songs. We have poetry going all the way back to the beginning of time and so of our existence. And so you put some music with it, some rhythm with it, and then you call it rap. You know, go listen to some of the whole album. You know, and old poetry, Don Lee and Hakeem Adebuti, and, you know, the women too, you know. Great poets always have a lyric. And as Dorothy Heitz once said, it's okay to rap and talk about what it is and what you're going through. But it's also important that you rap about how you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Wish it to be. So keep up the good work, Brother DX. That's it for me.
Thank you.
Brother DX, that's
Erykah Badu.
Erykah Badu, who was the first pitcher?
With the female?
I wasn't even looking at it, but who's the first pitcher?
Oh, I had Run DMC up at first.
Oh, Run DMC and then Erykah Badu? Okay.
And then Lauryn Hill.
Lauryn Hill, okay.
Oh, Jesus.
It's Erykah Badu right here, you know. She do the R&B, but you know her coach is still hip hop. How she do? She really on hip hop.
Call Tyrone.
Some people consider her R&B. Yeah, they call Tyrone a few.
Call
others.
Tyrone. Come get yeah, your. Yeah. Yes.
Now she DJ her own shows. She'll DJ before she perform.
Oh, okay.
She was like DJ her own shows, and she produced like with the MP and all kind of stuff.
Ooh. All right, Brother DX, you want to close us down now? We're gonna take our
pause. Yeah, sure.
Well, what's your last words, brother?
I just really want to thank everyone for participating tonight, and you know, I just kind of leave everybody with, you know. Does life imitate art, or does art imitate life? And I think that's the sum up of what hip hop is and what music is. I really like the way Amara kind of put it, you know, that this is a just another evolution in our journey that is allowing us to be free to express ourselves in a certain way. And just the connection, you know, from the Barry Whites and the, you know, the James Browns, and just how you could see the reflection of the past in the present. You know, I think he just kind of put that together for me, you know, in a really special way. Just seeing the it's like the same thing, just different people doing the same thing for our generation, you know. The Barry Whites could be compared to the Jamie Foxes and some of the others, you know what I mean? Like, it's all reciprocal and coming back like full circle, just in a different way, you know. I would like to see one day like a hip hop duo, a male and female duo, you know, like a Peaches and Herb. That's the one thing we haven't had. We haven't had our hip hop Peaches and Herb yet. So maybe that'll happen one day.
Yes, sir. That
I think that'll be the new cultural revolution for us as a people to get that hip hop Peaches and Herb, you know, or that Yabron people type energy. On some hip hop, because it hasn't been. I haven't seen. I don't know. Maybe somebody else might know about a married couple that rap together as a group, not your Jay-Z, Beyonce type thing. They, you know, they separate careers, or you know, the Papoose situation. They separate careers, but you know, just that couple coming up. But you know, that's it. Art imitating life, life imitating art. You know, we gonna keep thriving. And just thanks again to everyone just for participating and, you know, coming out this evening.
Appreciate it, brother. So, Professor Ra, we have anything for Monday?
I'm going to try to get this brother Khalid Muhammad on, Khalid Shaw from Stop the Violence, Increase the Peace Foundation. And then Linda says she's going to try to still get talk to Damien. Damien Goodman and Crenshaw, and, you know, talk about that. I'll let you know tomorrow.
All right, good. So we're going to take our pause. Brother DX, stay on for a minute, so I got to ask you something. Thanks, everyone. Appreciate it.
All right, DX, keep on pushing.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
We got Sister Making It Happen coming on next week. So each one teach one. Conscious Corner. Good evening.